Okay, the next talk here is actually my own. This is the statistical basis for the sampling process that Eric was describing there. I want to go ahead and acknowledge here from the outset the contributions of some of our other Southeastern entomologists that are all an integral part of this team. Eric Blinka, Van Dyne, Ames Herbert, Jack Batchelor, Philip Roberts, and Jeremy Green. We spent a little bit of time this morning on the importance of stink bugs in Southeastern cotton production, so I'm not going to belabor this a great deal at all, but certainly stink bugs are jumping up to become the disruptive pest in our neck of the woods, and unfortunately BT cultivars have no effect on stink bugs. Their damage is highly aggregated, and so scouting can be particularly difficult, and that's the reason we're looking at alternative detection methods, and we're going to see a number of those this morning through several different papers. In terms of the biology of stink bugs, the adults emerge early in the spring, and they're feeding on cultivated as well as non-cultivated hosts, building up in some of these roadsides as well as early planted crops like soybeans. And then they build up to very large populations and are looking for a place to go. And in a number of our southeastern states, like Georgia, for example, we still got 900,000 acres of cotton. And cotton just becomes a very palatable host late in the year, and so we get a lot of stink bug damage if those populations build up. And symptoms, as we've seen in several previous slides, include boll rot, as well as the potential for boll abscission, the lint staining, lint quality, all these things that we acknowledged early on. This is some data that I showed last year here at Beltwide, and I just wanted to kind of just quickly touch on the issues here. If we're looking at internal dissection of bolls, we're looking at a time of about 7 minutes for 20 bolls. Compared to that, if you were to look at a sweep net, for example, it only takes a minute and a half to do 50 sweeps, or a minute to use a drop cloth. The drawback here is that our efficiency or recapture here, if you look at the number of samples out of those 50 sweeps that had at least one insect, and this is based on 500 observations, so it's not a small data set, less than 10% for the sweep net, less than 5% for the drop cloth, whereas if you're using internal boll damage, we're upwards of about 90%. So this is a much more accurate measure, much more sensitive measure than either of these other two. And if you were to go ahead and add up the amount of time that it takes here, multiply it, this efficiency, in order to get this time up to this one, you're still about half as accurate. So the questions that I posed at the beginning of this project, and these are bulls that were, this is a cohort of 800 bulls that were collected several years ago, and trying to put the theoretical basis on really can we make these comparisons or not. Where can external lesions actually be used to estimate stink bug damage? And how does bull sample size and a tally threshold in terms of number of external lesions relate to our sampling accuracy? To kind of set this up, the bull set that I was working with was collected from eight commercial fields. Those were sampled until they reached 20%, which is our threshold for treatment, and at that time we sent out the students and collected 100 bowls, these soft quarter-sized bowls from random locations in each of those fields, and that gives us our 800 bowls that I use for the data set that I'm describing here. In addition to size, we only use symmetrical bowls. There's no hawk's bill or anything like that. These are all first position bowls, as I recall. On the same day where they were collected, we brought them back into the lab, measured diameters with a vernier caliper to make sure we were exactly where we wanted to be, and we had the students, which were actually well-trained at this point, saying, all right, lesions have to be defined as greater than 1 millimeter, and I've got some pictures here to kind of show that. In terms of damage, this is what we're talking about when we say an external lesion. This is very clearly in the upper right, in excess of 1 millimeter in diameter. That's a ruler that I've got up there. In the case of internal damage, anything that could be punctures up to the warts that we've seen here, as well as stained lint, or the most obvious, of course, is a rotten lock. Any of these three were just a binomial response variable. If you saw the presence of any of those, that bowl was considered damaged. Okay, we've got a couple other definitions I want to go through here, because this can get kind of mired in the jargon of the day here. These are the external lesions here, and when I talk about a tally threshold, what I'm saying is how many of these lesions does it take before we consider that particular bowl to be damaged? So in this case, there's two lesions there that are both larger than 1 millimeter in diameter. They're sunken. They're sunken into the bowl, concave like a spoon, and they're brown. So I would say in that case, if the tally threshold is set at 2, you have to have at least 2 of those in order to consider that bowl damaged, and we move that from 1 up through 4. Of course, we've talked about binomial thresholds. You don't have to count all these different symptoms of damage. The presence of at least one indicates that that particular bull has been damaged. And I'm going to talk about kind of an advanced regression technique here called inverse prediction confidence intervals. I'd like to spend just a minute to explain that. In traditional regression, you know, we've got an independent variable that we typically put on the x-axis. We've got a dependent variable we typically put on the y-axis. And we'll put on some sort of a confidence interval, say a 90%. And when we do that, what we're saying is, based on our observations of the independent variable, we can make a 90% confidence estimate that the point that's going to fall here on the dependent side is within 90%. The technique that I'm using is inverse prediction. And so what I'm actually doing is using the dependent variable to put a confidence band on the independent. And the independent would be internal, the dependent would be external. Those are, you know, by statistical law, there's going to be larger, and we'll see that. And then sample size in terms of how many bulls does it take to actually make up a particular sample. So here's the first look at the raw data, and this is really messy, and I have to admit to you that when I first saw this, I thought we really don't have a lot of chances of getting good stuff out of here. But this is actually quantitatively looking at actually enumerating each of the individual punctures, plus each of the warts, plus each of the stains, and that's plotted down here on the x-axis, and then counting each of the external lesions, and that's plotted on the y-axis. A couple of things that are important to note here. We do have a significant regression, but the lack of fit tests or a regression diagnostic suggests that we have a highly significant lack of fit test, which tells us that we didn't do a very good job fitting this curve, and quite clearly, just from looking at the scatter plot, that's because there's just way too much variability in there. So from here, we were looking for ways that we could actually use this data and be something that would be statistically valid. And so we went instead of making inferences on a per bull basis, we started looking at groups of bulls and using the thresholding methods so that we were using a binomial type system. So here's what I ended up with. Along the x-axis here then, I've got the total number of bulls in that particular sample that have symptoms of internal damage. So if you were to look here on this particular graph, at this particular point right here, 4 of the 10 bulls in that sample had at least one symptom of internal damage, and this particular bull had no lesions whatsoever. And we talked about thresholding those lesions, so for discussion purposes here, all of the bulls on this particular graph, we were thresholding at one lesion per bull to determine that as being damaged. This did a number of things for us. Number one, our regressions are still significant, but importantly, the regression diagnostic, or those lack of fit tests, are no longer significant, which tells us that we're doing a very good job actually fitting the line in this case. And what you see is that when we look at 10 bulls per sample, the plot shows that they're fairly close to the line, and as we increase the number of bulls per sample, remember this is the same data set, I'm just looking at it from different views, our points are actually getting closer and closer to on that fitted line, and in the process, that's reflected in something that probably many of you are familiar with, the R-squared value. We move from 0.56 to 0.61. At 20 bulls per sample, we're up to 0.67. And that would suggest that 67% of the variation in lesions is explainable by, 67% of the internal damage is explainable using lesions. And I think that's a nice improvement over what we saw on the previous slide. Okay, another way of looking at this would be, how do we threshold the number of external lesions that we need to look at? Now, there's a time trade-off here, because if you look for more and more lesions to determine that that particular bull is damaged, that's going to take you more time. But as Eric had suggested in his preliminary plots, he's got evidence that, you know, if you look at least 4, those bulls are definitely going to be damaged. So what I did was, using the same data set, just looked at thresholding differently. So with one lesion per bull, our R-squared is up there at 0.67. Here's 2 lesions per bull, 3 lesions, and 4 lesions. And what you see is that the slope of the line begins to decrease. And what that's telling us is that as we increase the tally threshold, or the number of lesions that are there, we start to miss damage. So it's true in a probability plot that if you have at least 4 lesions, you have much more confidence that that particular bull has been damaged. But the converse of that is that you're going to miss a number of bulls that, for example, will have 3 lesions or will have 2 lesions, and those will actually get incorrectly classified. So based on the data analysis that I'm showing here, I think 1 lesion per bull is sufficient for making these determinations. Okay, and the last piece of data that I'm going to show this morning is using these inverse prediction confidence intervals. In the Southeast, we've kind of all agreed that our static threshold right now is set at 20% bull damage. And so what I did was calculate it out using that 800 bull sample. if the external lesions suggest to me that we have 20% damage, if I'm to draw that inverse prediction confidence interval, so I'm actually going to estimate how much damage I have on the independent variable, or use lesions to predict a confidence interval about internal damage, what's that really going to tell me? And so based on the data set that I was given from a couple years ago, we think of an alpha level. You could think of this as like a precision level. So for research purposes, you know, we'd like to draw, say, a 90% confidence interval. What this is telling us is that when the external lesions tell us we have 20% damage with 90% confidence, the internal damage is going to be somewhere between 0 and 50%. So that's not particularly precise. But I would add to that, for management purposes, you know, when we're making decisions in the field and the sorts of things that we would instruct our growers and consultants to be using, we're going to be more in this neighborhood, the 60 to 70% type accuracy in there. And in that case, that drops our inverse prediction down to somewhere between 60 and 40, 10 to 37. I think those are still prohibitively wide, but I have to admit that this is a data set that was early on in the project. This is 800 bulls, and we hadn't included some of the things on the experience level and things like that. So I have full confidence that based on the several thousand bulls that we collected in 2008, we're going to be able to pull these inverse confidence intervals considerably closer, which is going to be very important as we move into the dynamic threshold as opposed to a static threshold. Okay, to put a little bit of discussion on this then, we move from enumerating individual symptoms on a per bull basis and evaluating groups of bulls into a sample and doing that on a binomial basis. And so we're model fitting for groups of bulls, and that greatly improved our model fit as evidenced by lack of fit testing. My data suggests that we need to have at least 20 bulls per sample to be accurate in terms of relating external lesions to the internal lesions. I didn't see an obvious benefit from increasing the tally threshold, which actually matches very well with what we need to do from a time perspective, because you can get through bulls much faster if you're just looking for one of those external lesions. And the accuracy of the damage varied with precision level, which was, I was talking about that alpha level on the previous slide. But without a doubt, the accuracy was less using the external lesions than it was with the internal symptoms. I think we need to spend a little bit more time here then on how many external bulls need to compromise a particular sample in order to make those equivalent to sampling 20 bulls on a binomial threshold with internal. And that's unfortunately a pretty advanced regression technique. We've got an entire paragraph devoted to it in one of the more comprehensive regression texts that we're using in the classroom right now. So I'm actually seeking out a statistician where I can relate, and we may just end up doing some weighted regression type things where we relate 30 bulls using external to 20 bulls using internal, and how closely do those match up, and can we decrease that inverse prediction confidence interval width, which I think is really critical to make this a sellable method. And my take-home message is that the data that I presented here, and this is based on, you know, the data from last year, and we've got all the 2008 data to get through yet, but certainly the external method suggests that we could certainly decrease time without a doubt, and be accurate enough for management methods to take care of some of these problems with stink bugs, where we just really need to get more bulls into the equation. We can't just pull one bull per acre, for example, and get a good handle on what our damage looks like. We've really got to get some more bulls looked at, and this is one way that we can reduce that time. Okay, I'd like to acknowledge from the outset here, I've got great technical support in my lab with David Griffin, and then Sean Malone's up at Virginia Tech. He helped us out on this, and we would certainly like to acknowledge funding for this study with Southern Region IPM, as well as the Georgia Cotton Commission. That concludes my presentation. We've got about a minute here. Do we have any questions? Yeah.
Those two techniques a lot closer time-wise?
What we've tried, the question is on how do you actually measure the differences in time? And actually what we've done in my lab is said, all right, we're going to assume that the amount of time that it takes to get to the field and to walk through the field is going to be similar regardless of the method that you use. So let's pull the bulls in, and when you're actually holding the bulls in your hand, that's when we start the stopwatch, and we compare looking at 20 groups of 20 bulls using external. We put that sample aside, then pick up another one and look at internal damage. We just replicate it that way.